Welcome, everyone, to another Motive Podcast. My name is Shaden Bertinoli. I'm a licensed therapist, and I want to help you solve life's hardest problems and like the way you feel. So this is episode number 51, which is just so cool to me. So I shared a story a while back about my son and a wrestling, his story on a wrestling mat, and I shared it with him, and all my kids listened to it, and my other kids quickly were saying, "Well, Dad, when are you going to do a podcast about me? You know, when are you going to say my name and talk about me?" And so an opportunity came this week, and I to share a story about my little daughter Nia, and she's six, and I thought it'd be a good thing to share here. I think it can help a lot of people, and so I'm going to share this. So Nia is just, she's so beautiful. She's just such a sweetheart. But she's also got her little diva style. She's got her attitude and she's not afraid to stand up to her brothers and really vocally throw down if she needs to. But she's, like I said, she just turned six. And one thing about Nia is that she loves horses. Okay. She loves them. And for her birthday, which was in March, I was able to arrange for a great friend of mine who she loves her horses. Her name's Terry. She was able to, I arranged with her to be able to take Nia down to this riding arena and have Nia ride her horse. And so Nia was able to do that. And my wife and I quickly could tell that this is something that would be good for Nia. So she, just a little background, Nia, to begin the school year, had some really difficult times. She'd had some pretty strong anxiety when Shelly would take her to school and drop her off. She would scream or cry or just stay in the car. She wouldn't want to get out. There was just a lot of fear. And so I had to do a lot of what's called exposure therapy with her. One day I took her in my truck. This was after school. And I made her, I pulled up in the truck and I made her get out like 15, 20 times of the truck and just practice getting out and going to the playground and going to the spot that she could stand to get into her classroom. I told her, I want you to get anxious. I want you to try to make yourself anxious and make yourself scared. And for any of you that are listening, if that sounds surprising, it's because for most people it is. To treat anxiety, you actually have to go into anxiety. You can't try to calm it. You can't try to simply, always breathe it through. Is breathing good? Yes. But when it comes down to a fear, the best thing you can do to really cure your anxiety is to get into that thing that causes or creates the anxiety, that trigger point, and give yourself enough time for your brain to desensitize to it. And so we've been doing that work, and I'm so proud of her. She'd overcome all that and goes to school very easily now. And so she was on this horse, and it was just so cool to see during her birthday that she was not only riding this one horse, but there was also a pretty young horse that Terry had taken in she basically adopted this horse. It was a wild Mustang, and she had helped this horse to calm down and learn to be rideable. And my little daughter Nia was walking that horse around, and Terry was telling me how much she could tell that horse loved Nia. And I don't know horse language. I know people, but I don't know horses. But Terry knows, she knows horses. And she told me that there was some body language from the horse that was indicating how much this huge, like powerful, you know, Mustang that was born in the wild was really loving my daughter. And it was just a sweet, sweet moment to see this huge creature be submissive and gentle with my tiny little daughter. Nia is a very petite little thing. And so I could just tell, I just had this impression there while we were riding that this is something that I think Nia would be really good for her for her confidence, for her sense of control to just master so many things with a horse. And I know that many of you that know horses, I don't, but I know I've studied some of it in the therapy world and they're powerful beings and very sensitive to human emotion. And so there's a lot of great therapeutic work that's done. It's called equestrian therapy, where people use horses to overcome trauma. It's like, especially a lot of rape victims have used horses to feel a sense of control again and mastery. And so So long story short, I guess it isn't short, it's long, but I called my wife the other day and I asked her how to, you know, she had taken Nia on a riding lesson, and I said, Shelly, how'd it go? And Shelly said, oh man, I can't wait for Nia to tell you. And I said, well, what happened? You just tell me. And then when Nia tells me, I'll act surprised. And so she began to tell me, she said, Terry was trying to teach her, how to, you know, balance on a horse. So we're going to start lessons kind of with Terry a little bit. And she said she was trying to teach her some of the basics. And so she put Nia on the horse with just the reins, but no saddle. And she was teaching Nia how to use her legs and to use her feet, to use her hands and all those kinds of things to stay balanced on the horse. Well, this horse is it's a smaller horse, but it definitely loves to run. And, Shelley said, well, the gate got left open and Nia was on the horse, and that horse saw the gate and took off towards the gate. And in an instant, Nia rode the thing for a sec, like stayed on it. And, it got out of the gate 'cause it saw some green grass and, it was heading for that. And Nia fell off, and, luckily, and she was fine. And it was really cool because immediately I told Shelly, I said, that's exactly why I want her to learn with horses. I don't want her to just be safe on the horse all the time. Like, I want her to have those experiences. And so the really part, this is the, you know, the moral of the story that's coming here is what Terry did with Nia and what they teach a lot in horse work, which I'm sure if any of you that are listening know horses, you probably know where I'm going with this. But the rule with horses is that when they buck you off and when you fall off of them, the rule is you have to get back on the horse. You have to. It's essential. It's a communication to the horse that you're in charge, that it can't just scare you off, and that you have a relationship that has to be mended. And also, from the rider standpoint, from my little Nia, she was crying. Shelly said she was, you know, she was crying. She was upset. She was, you know, scared a little bit. And the beautiful thing is, right, is my sweet little Nia, she got back on the horse and faced her fear. And as she got back in the Suburban to drive home, Terry texted my wife and was like, is she okay? You know, is everything? I'm just afraid she's not going to want to do this. And my Shelly texted her back and said, no, she's ecstatic. She's so excited. And I love this principle so much. There's so much to it, to get back on the horse. You know, that our brain is really, really focused, and what we run away from, it declares as danger. It tattoos it. And think about your day. Think about what you do every day. Think about the things you avoid that you run away from on a daily basis. Is it you? I run away from myself at times, that's for sure. I told you about my Lululemon story. I ran out of there pretty quick. But we run away all the time. And whenever we're running, whenever we don't get back on, our brain will register that thing as something that we ought to avoid, that it takes that seriously. And over time, it builds up this library of sorts of saved data of things that you ought to avoid. And guess what it uses to remind you to avoid those things? It uses what's called anxiety. And that's why it's not a disease. It's not just something that only a few people have. We all have some form of anxiety. Some of you struggle with it worse than others. And I feel for you, but it doesn't mean there aren't things you're running away from that you absolutely need to face and see and get back on the horse with. You know, another thing that I love is this relationship piece, that getting back on the horse, you know, how many of you have been, so to speak, thrown off a relationship where somebody else did something that really hurt you or ticked you off or offended you. And that relationship did mean something. And what it actually needs is you to get back on. And it doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries. It doesn't mean there aren't things that can't be resolved. But it does mean that the avoidance of that relationship it actually forces that relationship to stay alive in your life. And even though you might not see the person, there still has to be a focused attention that your brain says, I need to avoid that. And so I'm so proud. You know, I think what Nia did, you know, will define a lot of her life, of being able to face her fear that way. And Nia, if you're listening right now, I want you to know how proud I am of you. And but more importantly, when she got home and told me the story, one thing I like to do with my children, and I think this is a really good skill for all parents to have, is when she asked me, and not even parents, but any of us in our relationships, when she told me about what happened, and I asked her, I said, are you proud of yourself for getting on the horse to get back on? And she said, yes, I am. And I said, well, that's great, Nia. And I said, I just want you to know I'm proud as well, but I'm glad that you are proud of yourself. And all too often we train our kids to that when they do something well, we're the ones who says that we're proud of them. And it's a mistake, just so you know. It doesn't mean it's like a bad thing, so to speak, but I want my children to be self-validating. I want them to know that they can trust when they are proud of themselves, and that dad's validation or mom's, or, you know, in Nia's example, I don't want her to be a teenage girl one day who needs the validation of a boy, and that therefore her behavior or decisions might be influenced by what he says to her. I want her to be self-assured that her decisions are her decisions, and that what she does is what she chooses to do. And so I think we can frame that as people in our relationships, when people are talking to us about something that they're proud of or something that they did, and asking them, are you proud of yourself? And to make sure they are, because sometimes what we think that they ought to be proud of, like maybe our kid gets an A on a test, or maybe, you know, a good friend of yours gets a promotion, and what might look really good on the outside, but it could actually be a deceiving thing where, you know, you ask your friend, well, are you proud of that? You know, you're proud of that promotion. And what if there's a secret they have? What if they said, actually, I'm not proud of it. I think I got it in the wrong way. I think I don't deserve it. Or I think they misunderstand me, and they think that I'm better than I am. You know, you just don't know. And our kids as well, if they get an A on a paper, do well in school, do anything well, it's so good to just hear, like, because what if they're not? What if they have a secret that they'd like to share, and that thing disguised that secret? And when we ask them if they're proud, it's an opportunity or a window for them to be able to answer that. So as you're listening, right, what's the action item here? So I think what could happen very, very easily right now is for you to just to take a moment and think about the horses that you've had in your life that have bucked you off, right? That have thrown you off and that you maybe never got back on again. What are those things? I think writing them down could be a really good idea. And are those horses actually desiring for you to get back on? Are there things that you are avoiding that maybe are kind of calling your name, but the fear of getting, you know, again, thrown off or bucked off again is actually what's preventing you from doing so, even though you would thoroughly enjoy that horse, probably. You would enjoy that thing and would probably find a lot more reward in your life if you did so. Does that make sense? You know, it's just so easy as humans to fail and then to take that failure and let it define us and let it tell us that's just something we ought to not do again. When in all reality, it's very well the thing that we're supposed to do, and failure was intended. Failure is what you needed to keep learning and growing. And I'm one to preach. I say that in sarcasm. I'm more terrified of failure than anybody in the world. Like, failure is not fun. That's for sure. It took me forever just to record the first podcast. I was terrified. And again, I just, the horse was there, but I didn't even, for fear of being thrown off, I didn't even want to touch the horse. I didn't want to get in the same arena, even though in my soul, I knew it was something that was calling my name. And honestly, the word motive for my company, that the word motive has a lot to do with this, the individual mission that every one of you has in your life. And, you know, the prophet or the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has actually given us a promise and given people a promise that he actually said that when, and I'm paraphrasing, but because I don't have it in front of me, but he said, if the more and more that you, if you can even have a glimpse at the mission that Heavenly Father has for you, it would immediately start changing your life and changing your behavior. And so maybe your arena isn't full of a bunch of horses, but maybe there's one. Maybe there's one horse that you need to jump on that is a huge part of your purpose here. And I believe very strongly that you can find that. And if you think it's just so hard for you to find, I think it's cool to open up about it and talk about it, because I've had conversations so many times with people about this. So this thing about what their motive is in life, what their mission is, what their why is. And just by talking out loud, it starts to come to fruition a little bit, where they realize some things that they would, something they would like to focus on, for their life. And it starts to change a lot of things. So another thought that I just had, was the small and simple things principle. I believe very powerfully that through small and simple things, great things can come to pass. And although I believe this principle, I really struggle to live it. And so to me, it's the equivalent of how many, like, kind of, I would say, just horses I have in my pasture, and the ones that need to be ridden. They need just a little bit of time. They don't need a full fledged thing, but they just need a little bit of time every day as a discipline. More and more, I'm convinced that most people in their struggles, the vastness or the level or power of their problem often makes them think that the solution must be just as big. And I promise you, with everything I am, that the magnitude of your problem does not mean that the solution must be just as big. Most of the time, the perception of a problem is wrong anyway. Most of the time, what a problem that you deem as very big actually isn't. But even if it is, it doesn't mean that by small and simple things can that great problem be overcome. And I see it with pornography addiction. I see it with anxiety. I see it with relationships, you know, a big marital problem. Well, when people come in, it's such an easy question for me to say, what are you not doing right now in your marriage that you used to do all the time that really made your marriage work? And inevitably, there's like not just one answer, but 10 things that we stopped doing that really worked for us. And guess what they were? We watched a little show together. We made jokes with each other. We talked about simple things. We went on a walk together. Simple, what almost seems mundane, they get missed. And so many of us think that in order to get healthy again, to solve a problem, it can't be that simple. And I'm here to tell you that it can be. And so maybe, again, using the analogy even further, is that the horses that have worked for you before, the horses that you used to ride that really did work, that brought happiness, that brought calm, that brought peace, then there's a reason for it. And you trying to fix another horse to get that horse, the other horse back, isn't going to work. You can fix that other horse all you want, and you still have to get on that other horse at some point. I would rather just get off the horse that I'm trying to fix all the time and get on the horse that I like, and use that a lot more to be happy. And then maybe give some attention to the horse that I need, but focus more of my life on the things that make me happy. And, I absolutely know that what I'm saying is true, and I see it so often in my life, in my own life. I'm struggling with it and trying to figure that out myself, of how to be more focused on the small and simple things, and to let go of such grandiose big ideas all the time. And it's a tough thing. It's a very tough thing. And if you know me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So hope this helped you. And please just know, like I always say, we have I have my course on motiveacademy.com that will change your life. I have at least easily over 150 people right now using the course, and we haven't had it out that long. And it's just awesome to see the change, to see the effect it's having on people. They're really gaining control over their emotions. They're gaining control over their thoughts, and they're really beginning to know how to protect their self-worth in a way that they never dreamed of. And also, there are still places available for our Alaska trip that I have planned for July 18th. And the price is $4,900, which is awesome. It's an all-inclusive price. You just got to get yourself there, and but it'll change your relationship. So hit us up there. It's on motiveacademy.com. And thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the next episode.